The parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25. There are four gospels, as you know, and each of those gospels presents a different picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a few questions. Feel free to shout it out if you know the answer. How does the Apostle John present the Lord Jesus Christ? He presents him as God, as the Son of God, or to eliminate confusion, as God the Son. Okay. How about Luke? How does Luke present the Lord Jesus? Son of man, Son of man. Emphasis upon his humanity. How about Mark? Servant, yes. And Matthew? As the King. As the King. This morning, Dave Erickson read from Matthew chapter 1, which is the genealogy of the King. And genealogies, as you might recall, with Israel were very important. They were very important for the priesthood. You know, during the spring and summer, we went through the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah, if your name was not in that genealogy, you were out. You had no foundation with which to lay your claim. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, being a Jew, and what was Matthew's real name? Do you recall? Levi. Okay. He knew that his audience, if there were Jews in it, might think about that. Well, where's the genealogy? Where's the proof? He says he's the son of David. Where's the genealogy? And you can read Matthew chapter 1, and it will show you the genealogy right there, right to David. He is the king. So it's not king in name only, but king according to the genealogy as well, through Mary, of course, not through Joseph per se, okay? Because his father is God, God the Father, who overshadowed Mary. And that, but as we go through the Gospel of Matthew, you see the Lord presented as the King. You see in his in Matthew chapter 3, you see the recognition that God the Father gives him. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Also in the Transfiguration as well, and the Holy Spirit setting upon him in Matthew chapter 3, and so on. And you see all through that gospel, you see on the Sermon on the Mount, how the King's people are supposed to live. You remember from Matthew chapter 1 that he came to save his people. You see from Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 to give his life as a ransom for many. And so he did. Everything in Matthew is pointing in that direction. His miracles, his love for the people show the love of a king for his people, very much unlike the kings that reigned at that time, especially in Israel. We know Herod, very selfish man, very little love, if any, for the people. A lot of love for their money, but not a lot of love for them. Okay. And as we get closer to the cross, you see the Lord Jesus Christ becoming more intense in his ministry to the people in that. And in the last week, you see a number of parables and you see a number of statements, condemnations that were given to the leaders of the time. The condemnations to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees for their leadership, for their hypocrisy, and so on. As the true king, this offended him. And for the people who came to know him or who were going to come to know him in Matthew chapter 25, which may have been given about Tuesday or so of that last week before his crucifixion and before his resurrection. Okay, in Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, an encouragement for the people to be prepared to receive the king, to receive the bridegroom, to hear the words, and to be ready to meet him. And we come now to the parable of the talents, and we will see how this works. I probably need to point this in this direction. There we go. Anybody know what this is? What do we call that? It's a word cloud, right? Something I learned in, I picked up in school this last term. This is from a website called Wordle. Maybe Justin said that, yeah. Very cool website. The only problem with that website is you can't copy. So I had to print it, put it in my scanner, and then put it into PowerPoint. But this sort of gives you an overview of some of the things that we're going to be talking about in the last week and just in the next 2 weeks. Sort of throws it up there, the passage of Scripture, some of the key words that we're going to be talking about in that. And one in there, unfulfilled potential, I think is going to be pretty important to us as well, because as I've lived my life, you know, these last couple of years, I've been hit with some personal realizations that I've had to come to grips with. And as we go through the parable of the talents, I would like each of us to consider before the Lord, how are we using our talents? How are we using our natural abilities? And I want to encourage you not to separate the two. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when He saves us, He saves the whole person. When you come to Him, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. We don't have one part of us segmented for this and one part segmented for that. This is the Lord's part, this is the world's part, and the family's part. It's all the Lord's. We are the Lord's servant, and we need to look at our lives in that way. And I want to give another warning as well, another contemplation for us, that when the Lord saves us, we're not like, the church isn't like a batch of dough per se, you know, and He takes a cookie cutter and cuts it out and we're all the same. We're all different. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. And as we talk, you know, you may remember your experience, and I'm going to share experiences of a couple people who have been close to me who tried to put themselves into, you know, they wanted to be accepted by the church and became something that they weren't. And it was really difficult for them to work through that in their lives. And praise be to God, they found some freedom in that. Okay? A release to be the people that God made them to be. So that's something we want to consider as well. So in the first, we want to look through some of the elements of the, could you advance that one? It doesn't seem to be working for me. Okay, the elements of the parable. You advance it once more. Okay. What is a parable? Parables you see used by the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, and He uses them with great power. They're symbolic, literary devices that are used, oftentimes allegorical. Each of the elements of a parable have great significance and can have great application. We have to be careful sometimes not to read too deeply into it, but we do want to receive the message that the Holy Spirit has for us. And if you remember from Matthew chapter 13 and others, when the Lord talks in parables and when the people question Him, it's, why do you teach in parables? And what it comes down to is, if you're seeking truth, you will see the truth through the parable. But if you come to the Lord, but if a person comes to the Lord and hears His teaching and is rebellious of heart and is stubborn of heart, you're not going to get the meaning. It's like in the Gospels, we read, the Lord couldn't do many miracles in some cities. Why? A lack of faith. They didn't believe. When you come to the Lord, as the old hymn says, you have to come believing. Come believing. Okay? Come ready to receive. Okay? So that's the first element here. You know, this time I'm trying to use PowerPoint in that. And get my act together here. All right, let's see if we can get this to... Yeah, I think so, too. That makes a good point. All right, well... Okay, all right. So the Millers went through and read this for us. So just to identify again, the man is the Lord Jesus. Okay, advance at one, please. Okay, the servants are believers in both the church age and the tribulation. Now, if you got one of these handouts, and this is something that I do in Sunday school, gives the kids something to do, and I know when I receive these, you know, it sort of gives me something to do, a way to keep notes and that kind of thing, and you can follow along on that if you would. So the servants are believers in both the church age and the tribulation. If you study this, you see there's a little, in dispensational thought, there's a little question as to when this takes place. Okay, but one thing that is true is that as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're in the church age or the tribulation age, we are going to be judged for the use of our talents, for the use of our natural abilities before the Lord. Okay? If we could advance to the next slide. Hit it again. Okay. Now, the journey that the Master is going on, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the period of time between the ascension and the second coming. Okay? Many years, many generations of Christians have arisen in that time. If you could hear it again. A talent. A talent is the largest of all monetary denominations in the Roman Jewish world, at least as I understand it. If you could advance that again. Then the value is anywhere from, in today's money, depending on who you look at, in that $700 to $1,300 or so. And that's many years' wages in the life of an ordinary worker at this time. So these three servants, were given a great responsibility. They were given a lot of money, more money than they would accumulate in many years. And when you think of it as Christians, as servants of the Lord Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 5, we're called ambassadors. We have great responsibility. To us, it has been entrusted to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To us, it's been entrusted to make disciples. Really, He's our King. When we minister the gospel, and you know, I was talking with Shirley earlier, and we were talking a little bit about Bear Lake and that, and the opportunity to see a young woman come to Christ, and I think she mentioned in juniors, 45 or something, had made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. These are people who are being added to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. If you remember, in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, when the Lord taught them how to pray in the disciples' prayer, if you would. What part of that prayer in the King James is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the kingdom of heaven, as we read, or the kingdom of God, is that sphere where God rules. And He rules in our lives. And it is incumbent upon us to follow Him. Not all of us have the gift to be an evangelist or even to be a discipler. But we do have the ability to pray. We do have the ability to share our lives in some way. So you may not be somebody that stands and preaches the gospel, but you can be somebody who can share your life, who can give testimony of what God has done for you. You look in Corinthians, you see there's a whole process, if you would, of how people come to Christ. Somebody plants a seed. You might be somebody that plants a seed. Another person might come by and water, a person that can maybe answer some questions, okay, to give some clarity in that. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the increase, and then, of course, it is these things grow, and then there's reapers. There are those who have the great blessing of being able to reap, being able to lead somebody to Christ, a great blessing. You think in Proverbs, the one who wins souls is wise. But each step in that process is important. And your talents, your natural abilities, all give witness, all give testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are. You know, so we're all key components in that. You see the great work that's done here at Dunning Park, you know, and our outreaches, and that is people share their talents. You know, our talents aren't measured in money. It's love. It's love of the gospel. It's love of building a program, if you would, where kids can come in here and feel safe and feel comfortable and receive the Word of God and be saved and so on. Okay? Can we move to the next slide? It would probably be good if we could take off the... probably can't do that. Okay. I'll remember for next week. I will remember for next week. We'll just hit the... hit that as it is. All right. Okay, could you keep scrolling through? Okay. You know what? Could you just put it... Okay. Anyway, sort of messed me up, but it's not your fault. Don't worry about it. So anyway, as we assess our gifts and talents, we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to His Word for wise counsel. Okay. There's a number of passages in Scripture that we can use that talk about your spiritual gifts. You can look at Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, 1 Peter, I think is one of them, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. All these areas talk about spiritual gifts. There's a lot of resources out there to help you develop that. And I would encourage you to take advantage of that. There's no reason for a Christian in this world to be ignorant of your position in Christ, your potential in Christ as a servant. We have great potential, and we should be able to fulfill it. And let's see where I am. Okay, very good. Okay, move to the next one, please. And the next. Okay. It says in the Scripture that when we're saved, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we're saved to do good works. You remember the Michael Card song, a poem. Our lives are poems, and that to be read by all. And we do good works. We're set up to do good works beforehand. And that Titus chapter 2 and 14 and James chapter 2 give thought to that good works as well. And we need to remember that we're saved by faith alone, okay? But the faith that saves is never alone. That's a very important truth from the Reformation, that it's always good for us to remember. And when we use our talents for the Lord, we need to bear in mind that just like these servants here, that we are going to give an account for how we work for the Lord. And he Matthew uses imagery from the Roman world. Can you scroll again? Yeah, there we go. That is a bema seat. That is literally a platform where a judge or a speaker would stand to speak. Or at the Roman Isthmian games, I believe that they're called, where rewards would be bestowed. And one day, we are going to stand before the Lord and be judged. Not for our salvation. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that transaction is complete at that point. Meaning, you are sealed. You are guaranteed to be presented to God. Okay? No doubt about it. Okay? But our works, and that's the point that the Lord is driving home to the people that he's speaking to in those days before his death, that you're given talents, you're given natural abilities, and you're gonna be judged for that. We can look ahead to 2 Corinthians or to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What are you building upon the foundation of your life? When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a foundation. Okay, what do you build upon that? Do you build gold, silver, precious stones, thinking of those good works? Or are you one who you're saved, you have life insurance, as it were, and you go on and you just live any way that you want to live? When you do that, you build wood, hay, and stubble. In the scriptures, especially in Peter, it talks about our trials, how heat has a way of purifying us. Well, there's going to be heat at that judgment per se, okay? And will our works stand the test? Will they stand the test? Will we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will we be saved, so as by fire? These are messages that we need to get from the parable of the talents. And, you know, as Brian and they read, the first two servants used their talents to the best of their abilities. And we ask the question, how are we using our abilities? How are we using our talents, our natural abilities that the Lord has given us? And the good thing about living today in the 21st century, there's ways to assess that and there's ways to improve. For me personally, I mentioned the last couple of years have been a time of great trial for me. And one of the things that I learned is that I need to go back to school and I need to finish my degree. And that's been quite an upheaval in my life. But that development of my natural abilities is something that I've been able to use as well to enhance talents that the Lord has given me. And the one thing I've learned in the business world today, that if you do not have a college degree and you have the means to get that college degree, you need to do it. There's one takeaway. If there's anybody here who's on the edge about finishing a college degree, I would challenge you to do that. As a young man, I was able to more or less apprentice into my job. I took some college classes in that, didn't finish, okay? And I was able to grow through the system. Well, lo and behold, I'm 45, 46 years old, and there's new management. And what's the first thing they do? Oh, let's look at his credentials. Not the 25 years, okay, but what I have on a piece of paper. Pretty soon I find myself in a position that I'm completely boxed in. I don't blame them. That's my own fault. I had a way to get that degree, and I didn't do it. You know, Now I'm doing it. Now I'm working myself through. So I would challenge you to develop yourself if you can, if you have the financial means to do it. Develop yourself. Is there some other unfinished task that would benefit you and your family that the Lord may call you to account for? You know, this is really a call to examination, to look at our lives in the same way that this is what the parable of the talents should do for us. How are we using our talents for the Lord? Take inventory. You know, ask yourself, how is your walk with the Lord? Are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding your mind? Are you slipping up? Are you giving in to temptation? All these things are going to limit how your talents are used, how your natural abilities are used. Another thing I've learned that limits in the ministry for the Lord, debt. As we pile up debt, that slows the different directions that we can move in. It limits our freedom in that. And it's amazing, and it can affect you spiritually. It affects different people different ways. Some go into despair with drinking and drugs and all these other things. Families are broken apart in that. So as we look at our talents, as we look at our abilities, look at things that hinder you, both spiritually, at work, anything. Because we need to have the freedom to be the Lord's servants. Okay? Look at your relationship with your spouse and your family. How is it? The greatest ministry that we can have is to our families. We hear of people in the past who supposedly made great sacrifices for the Lord, completely lost their families. What's the deal with that? How can you serve the Lord outside when your home is falling apart? So look at your spouse, look at your relationship with your family, and that. Consider as well, how do you respond to authority? Authority at all different levels. That affects your testimony. It's very important, especially at work. I've found is with different management styles and that, you need to be sensitive. You need to be sensitive. A wrong word puts you in the doghouse and can put you out the door. It's just the way it is. That's why you need to be prepared. That's why you need to be prepared. And think, too, are there any other changes in your life that you feel that you need to make? One of the great things about the Lord's Supper is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're called to examine ourselves so that we can partake, so that we can remember the Lord. It should also be a time for us to start anew. Okay. So, in review, be the man or woman that God called you to be. Don't allow yourself to be put in a cookie cutter. Each of us are unique. We're all a body, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and so on. And we all have an important part. If you're sitting back there thinking, I'm so different, how could I possibly fit in? Well, remember, the head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts you in the church. He puts you in the church for a purpose. Don't masquerade as something you're not. Maybe the Lord sent you here to wake people up in some way. You don't know. Be who God made you to be. Of course, work with the elders, work with the leadership, but be the person that God made you to be. As Christians, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, it's not for salvation, but for reward. And ask yourself, what are you building upon your salvation? Take these examinations and do something with them. So this parable has spoke volumes to me. I hope it'll speak volumes to you over the next couple weeks, because the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to do and really is doing a great work here at Dunning Park. We may be small in numbers, but we're seeing things done here. We're supporting missionaries. we're reaching out into the neighborhood. Some of you are involved in MOPS, and you're touching the lives of women. You know, there's things going on here that people, maybe most of the congregation doesn't even know about, but you're affecting people for the gospel, and we need to keep on doing that, and we need to not give up. There's a lot of things in life that can drag us down. We need to take those before the Lord and deal with them and not give up. So like Churchill, never, 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 never give up. And that's our exhortation to you today. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we just thank you now for the great working of your Spirit in each of our lives. And we pray, Father, that we would be open and that we would be sensitive to what you're doing, realizing that you've made us to be unique people for the kingdom. And we pray, Father, that we would allow you to work through us and that we wouldn't be ashamed of what you made us to be, our Father. For we seek the glory of your name. Now take us to our various places, we pray, Father, with journeying mercies. We just thank you for the ministries that have gone on here today. We thank you for the work of Jubals. We thank you for the Sunday school and the nursery, Lord, and just your great blessing upon each of these endeavors. As it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. Meeting is ended, a little late.